It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder has called the rise in national heroin overdoses an urgent public health crisis. As news of an increasing number of heroin overdoses has made headlines across the state, newsrooms are making a concerted effort to cover important angles of this heroin epidemic. I'm joined now in Studio A by Sharon Walsh, editor of our content partner, Public Source. Sharon, thanks so much for being here. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine, Paul. Good to be here.
Also with us is Dr. Neil Capretto, medical director of Gateway Rehabilitation Center. Dr. Capretto, good to have you with us.
Thanks for the invitation. It's great to be here, Paul.
You can join this conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at ESSPGH, #EPLive. Again, that's ESSPGH, #EPLive. If you know someone, perhaps a family member, who has succumbed to the addiction of heroin, share your story with us at 412-246-2002. This is a problem that has touched so many lives in Pennsylvania. We'd like you to share your stories with us. We'd like to discuss some of the things that are going on in this state that many people perhaps don't want to confront, but that we are preparing to confront for at least the better portion of our program today. Dr. Capretto, let's begin with you and with a look at the scope of the heroin problem in Pennsylvania. How all-encompassing is it?
The problem with heroin has never been worse in our lifetimes, in our history. There are more people using heroin, more families being devastated by it than at any time. And it is everywhere. I guarantee you that every community within the range of this radio broadcast, there are people struggling with heroin. And heroin historically used to be more of a drug of the inner city, even certain parts. Over the last 15, 20 years, that has dramatically changed with the – it was spearheaded, unfortunately, by the prescription medicine epidemic with OxyContin leading the way. And now it is everywhere. Every little community, suburb, little Beaver, PA, where I live, in the farm, every community. And we're setting, unfortunately, records for drug overdose deaths in Allegheny County and all of Pennsylvania. And actually, Western Pennsylvania is proportionally higher than most of the rest of the state.
And you know, you mentioned OxyContin, and there are other. I guess there must be other gateway drugs that lead to heroin. Does that account for the proliferation of heroin use outside of the inner city?
Absolutely, yes.
Heroin, it's such a nasty substance, and also one, though, that for some might seem a little passé, relegated to the film noir characters like Frank Sinatra's and The Man with the Golden Arm. And, so a lot of people must be asking – I'm sure there are people who are – kind of gobsmacked by this and who are wondering why we're seeing this resurgence or whether it's something that's never really gone away.
Well, we've really seen this explosion of increased use. Heroin use actually went down in the mid to late 80s because HIV became part of our consciousness and awareness, and people shied away from needles.
And we should clarify that this is a drug, for people that don't know, that is, you inject this with a syringe, with a needle.
Well, you can.
Generally.
Generally, you do. The new drug that started coming in the late 80s, early 90s was cocaine, snorting, smoking it. It was around, but it was really proliferated with crack cocaine. Old heroin came from Asia. The new cocaine came from South Central America. I call this a perfect storm. At the same time that this was developing through the 90s, there was this big wave to let's better treat pain, which we absolutely need to do. But there was massive marketing of physicians to let's give medicines like OxyContin out there. And prescription rates went dramatically up, increased 600 to 1,000% in a lot of the country. So you had a lot of people got the help, but a lot of it spilled out into into the streets and community. So now you had thousands of people in small towns hooked on this prescription medicine. But then the cocaine people found that they probably had a board meeting and said, how can we introduce another product? And they said, what about heroin? They said, well, people are afraid of heroin because of needles. The old heroin was 10%. What they found is if you can get heroin over 50% pure, you don't have to use a needle. You can snort it or sniff it. So that's what they did. They found ways to mass produce heroin that now in our community is averaging 70 to 90%. And almost everybody starts by snorting it or sniffing it because it's a big step from somebody from a small town to go from doing maybe alcohol, marijuana, to putting a needle in their arm. But they do it because at least 95% I see start with pills. The pills become expensive. They can't afford it. They go over to heroin, and they're afraid of a needle. They start snorting it, but within a short period of time, they use needles. And then and once they go to the needle, they rarely go back. And that causes all kind of other problems in terms of hepatitis C, HIV.
Right. And is part of the problem the fact that in – I remember living in the Boston area in the 80s as a student, and there were there was a big problem. And there was also the spread of hepatitis because of syringes being reused.
Correct.
So public health officials were doling out clean needles.
Yes.
And so it prevented the spread – or it was designed to prevent the spread of diseases, but at the same time it didn't – it did nothing to dissuade people from using heroin, from shooting up.
Well, actually it did a little bit.
There's, did it?
There's needle exchange programs like Prevention Point. They, through their clean exchange of clean needles have helped really reduce rates of – hepatitis and HIV.
But did it deal with the heroin problem?
Well, but when a lot of people go to get the needles, they also have social services. They'll talk to them. They'll give them information about how to get help, how to get treatment. So they end up being a referral. A number of people end up getting help. They go to get a needle and then they get help. I mean,
get a needle, I guess is what I'm saying.
Right. And there's no evidence that increases the rate of addiction. A person is going to use a needle whether they have a clean needle or a contaminated needle, and if given a choice, they'll use a new or clean needle.
Right. It doesn't increase it, but certainly wouldn't necessarily decrease it either, would
right.
it?
Right. Right. But it decreases harm in terms of other health problems.
Sure.
And like I did say, there is a certain percentage of people as they're getting these clean needles and somebody's giving it to them, talks to them as a human being and says, there is another way, there's another path, and does make an impact or plants a seed. So there is positive that comes out of it. Yeah, it's not the be all and end all, but there is positive. It's better to do it than not to do it.
Sure. Sharon Walsh, I want to bring you into the conversation from Public Source, our content partner. What is Public Source doing to cover this heroin epidemic and raise awareness?
Well, as you know, Paul, Public Source is in part a collaborator with news media throughout the state. We now have 44 content partners. And I was at a Pennsylvania News Media Association meeting last year and talking to some editors about I always try to talk to editors about what is it that you think needs to be covered more, what can we help you with? How can we contribute to the kind of work you're trying to do that's important? And one editor said to me, you wouldn't believe what's happening in our community because of heroin. The jails are full. The courts are full. The rehab units are full. This is a problem that is affecting every stratum of our community and our society. And as Dr. Capretto said, it's a national problem. But Pennsylvania is right up there in terms of numbers. We are third in the country in terms of people who are addicted to opiates.
Is that throughout the entire state, or are we talking about southwestern PA?
It is throughout the entire state.
What about southwestern Pennsylvania? Why are we seeing such an increase in overdoses here?
It's a good question. You may remember that last year we had this big episode where there was some fentanyl-laced heroin that killed a bunch of people. One of the things we did was look for a person to sort of embody the story. And we did a profile of a young woman with two children from Katanning, PA, which is a small community outside of Pittsburgh where there's not a lot to do, not a lot of jobs. And she started out, smoking marijuana and then became addicted to opiates and advanced from there to heroin, as so many people do. And she only really sought rehab after social workers came in and said, we're going to take your children away if you don't do something. And so we started that coverage with that story. And as we reached out to our partners, we found that lots of our media partners throughout the state, including WITF, your sister NPR station in Harrisburg, were covering this issue. There has been a good bit of legislative action on it. And so we started working in tandem with them. And then I said, let's reach out to our other partners and see what they've done on this very important topic throughout the state. And we aggregated those stories on our website. I mean, I think sometimes we forget that as media platforms, we don't have to do everything ourselves. When we collaborate with others, we can tell the same stories and simply use the stories they've already reported.
Just spread the word.
Get
the word out in communities. You know, as you were talking, you mentioned marijuana, and you probably have opened up another matter of debate here, and I'll defer to Dr. Capretto on this, but we are in the process of planning a program for tomorrow about the push to legalize medical marijuana in Pennsylvania. Someone who's been very much involved in that effort is State Senator Daylon Leach, who in fact would like to see and has said on this program in the past when he's visited that he would like to see marijuana decriminalized. So is that a gateway drug? I mean, there's a debate about there. Plenty of people say it's not, but Sharon just pointed to the fact that for some it may be something that leads to the use of heroin. Yeah.
Well, the reality is most people who use marijuana do not go on to any other harder core drugs. However, there is an association. I mean, if you look at 100 people, especially young people who use marijuana compared to those who don't and follow them over time, those involved with marijuana are going to have much higher rates of going to other drugs eventually. And there's some debate of is that due to cultural, social, some factors on the brain. There absolutely is some association. It's not necessarily proved as causation. But if I could get back to maybe a question about Western Pennsylvania,
yes.
Why the higher rate of
Western Pennsylvania?
It's directly tied into the prescription medicine issue because of our demographics of an older population, working Blue Cross population. There was a need for pain medicines, and doctors started prescribing it, and pharmaceutical companies were marketing the doctors heavily, and they were giving the message, this is safe, non-addicting. Less than 1% of people who ever use OxyContin will ever have a problem. That was the message from the company. So there was a lot of prescription medicines very heavy in our community, and then thousands of people all over in every town from Katanning to downtown Pittsburgh to Clarion to Washington, PA, got hooked on prescription medicines, and then that led to the heroin problem because we had a much higher rate of prescription medicines, which just is just a stepping stone into heroin.
And how have the heroin overdoses in Pennsylvania come to be considered an epidemic?
Well, in Allegheny County, when I finished my residency at St. Francis in 1985, we had 22 drug overdose deaths. That's terrible, 22 people untimely. In 2012, we had 290. So that's a dramatic increase. Here's the iron, one of the sad facts. Surrounding counties, the rural counties lagged behind Allegheny for a few years. But now in terms of rates of drug overdose deaths in proportion to the population, pretty much all of them have surpassed Allegheny County. So we have a lot of thousands of people dying in Pennsylvania every year. I say if we had a serial killer killing one-tenth of these people, we'd have the National Guard here. CNN would be here. But these people are dying in silence, and there's families struggling, and it's very sad.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and our guests are Dr. Neil Capretto, Medical Director of Gateway Rehabilitation Center, and Sharon Walsh, editor with our content partner, Public Source, talking about the heroin epidemic in southwestern Pennsylvania. And Sharon, I want to get back to some of your coverage, but Dr. Capretto, I think that one question that we should try to address here is what is the allure of heroin? You've talked about what recently has led some people to get into it, but historically, you mentioned the connection to the inner cities. It was something that artists, for whatever reason, gravitated to from jazz musicians in the 40s up through, you know, Boy George in the 80s, yeah, who famously had his heroin problems.
To Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. What is the allure of? Why would somebody turn to this?
Well, it's a very powerful opioid. Opioids are very good at stopping and blocking pain, physical pain, emotional pain, psychic pain. And I've talked to thousands of people with addiction over the years, and I never met one who started using any drug because they wanted to intentionally add more problems to their life on purpose. They're trying to solve some problem, block some pain. And it works very well in the short run. But then after a short period of time, if they keep using it, they get a tolerance. They have to use more and more. And then when they reach a point, sometimes it could be even as short as, you know, 6-7 weeks down the road, they try to stop. It's very difficult. They get very sick. And so they have to keep using now, not to feel this good or high. They have to use to block the pain. It's really pain that drives addiction, or the avoidance, because if people don't use, they feel so terrible. So they get trapped in it. People say their brains get hijacked. And
so the more that you use, the more you need later.
The more you need later. And like I said, most of these people started with prescription opioids, which is the same family as heroin. So they didn't really want to use heroin, but they're using pills, and the pills get out of control. They get very sick without the pills. They can't afford it. Somebody who's using can quickly build up to 200-a-day addiction with pills, and somebody will say, you know, for about $30, $40 a day, you can get the same effect from heroin. And they'll say, I don't want to use heroin. I'm scared of needles. No, this new heroin's stronger. You can snort it, and it's safe that way. And then they'll snort it for a few weeks, a couple months. But then as they progress, they'll say, you're wasting your money. A needle will work better. And then they go to a needle, and then they almost never go back.
It is the problem of heroin addiction and the heroin epidemic that we're discussing on today's edition of Essential Pittsburgh, with Dr. Neil Capretto, Medical Director of Gateway Rehabilitation Center, and Sharon Walsh, Editor of Public Source, our content partner. Sharon, certainly you are part of an effort to create awareness in the community about what's going on. As painful as it may be for people to hear, there needs to be some awareness, a level of awareness raised, and you're doing that. What are some of the most notable story angles that you are involved with and that you're seeing and planning to cover?
Well, I think in aggregating these stories from around the state, some of the most powerful stories to me have been the stories of parents who have lost children to heroin addiction and overdose. Dr. Capretto and I were talking about this earlier, and the number of families who've lost not one child but two to heroin overdoses. To me, I can't even imagine that pain, and the number of support groups, the pain of feeling guilty that you should have done something. To me, that's incredibly powerful, that families lose not one but several children. There are so many threads to be pulled in this story. I mean, there is what the state's doing. The legislature actually has created a department to deal with this, but you know, as always, the state only has so much money, and so it's difficult to fund it. There are the questions of rehab and insurance and people who can and cannot afford to go to rehab. There are just so many sides to this story. And as Dr. Capretto said, opiates and prescription drugs. I came here originally from Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Kentucky has a long history of people being addicted to pain medication. And the idea that you can now get much more powerful heroin on the street that is cheaper than buying pain medications is an amazing thing. And that, I think, is why it is so widespread.
Let's take a call first from Michael, who's driving as he listens and calls in. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the show.
Hello. I'm just calling to kind of add to the piece Dr. Capretto talked about as far as the emotional component of drug use. I'm a graduate student studying counseling right now, and there seems to be a familial pattern of drug use in the family or even absent parents. There's also a large pain medication to someone who is using in excess. And from what I've read, from what I've researched, from what I've kind of learned, there is a overlap between attachment similar to bulimia or anorexia that is kind of apparent or just kind of there within the drug and alcohol population as far as attachment styles, parental figures, history. So there's this emotional component that I think is being addressed while the individuals are in a sober state can reinforce that and can reduce the excessive use, if not cut it out completely.
Okay, Michael. Well, Dr. Capretto is nodding in recognition, and while we've got you on the phone, where are you studying, Michael?
I'm studying at Chatham University, actually.
Okay.
In their counseling program.
Good luck with your work, and let's let Dr. Capretto answer your question.
Good points, and thanks for your call. I mean, addiction is clearly a complex disease. As my mentor, Dr. Abram Torsky, taught me many years ago, it's a biopsychosocial, and we like to add spiritual, disease. There's many factors involved. It does tend to run in families. Genetics is a factor. With families with a family history, they could have as much as a, four times increased rate in their offsprings. But you mentioned the emotional people who are, again, in pain, who have been wounded, who've been traumatized. We know people who have co-occurring disorders, whether they be a major depression, a bipolar disorder, panic disorder, have much higher rates of addiction because they're drawn to chemicals to try to, function and feel better. And good treatment needs to address that. Not just we have some, medicines out, but, one medicine, a pill is not going to cure addiction. It might help stabilize some of the symptoms. But to really, transform a human being into a healthy state, you need to address the mind, body, and spirit together. And when you do, you get better results. When you don't, you often fall short.
And there is activity taking place in the legislature. Will PA legislators make an antidote for heroin overdoses available?
They have actually already. They voted unanimously in both the House and the Senate to make Narcan, which is the overdose antidote, available. It's called the Good Samaritan Law. And if you're the parent or the friend of someone you know is on heroin, you can have that available so that if there is an overdose, you give them the antidote, and it literally brings people back to life. I'm sure Dr. Capretto knows much more than I about how that works, but I think it's been a terrific thing. Police departments and emergency medical technicians have it available. However, it is expensive, and so that has been an issue again with budgets.
Yeah, and good point. Narcan, and the generic name is naloxone, is what we call an opioid antagonist. It can reverse an overdose from any opioid, from heroin to fentanyl to oxycodone. And they use it in hospitals routinely. And the problem has been, up until this law was just passed, you could only prescribe it to the person who was using. Well, the fact is, if I prescribe it to you, if you're a heroin user and you overdose, you can't give it to yourself because you're unconscious. So now this legislation makes it available to give to a family member so they can have it in their home. More first responders. And reality is, of the thousands of people who have died from the opioid overdoses, anywhere probably between 95% to 100% might have survived. And these are lives worth saving, absolutely.
Let's go back to the phones. We have Alice in Pittsburgh with a question. Go ahead, Alice.
Yes, actually, Dr. Capretto just answered much of my question. I was going to ask if he could speak a little bit about the new law that just went into effect, Act 139. We've been involved. I work for Prevention Point Pittsburgh, and our overdose prevention project has been prescribing naloxone for heroin users for almost 10 years now. But with this new law, now, we really want doctors to be aware that any doctor can prescribe naloxone to anyone who might witness an overdose, and encourage that practice to be happening more broadly.
Yeah, thanks, Alice. The work that Alice in Prevention Point is doing is remarkable. I mean, they have been dispensing naloxone for several years and have had reported of reversing over 1,000 overdoses in the last several years. And Alice has just done tremendous work. I mean, I'll embarrass her and say she's the overdose prevention angel in the Pittsburgh area. And thank you for all that you do.
Is there any proven method that works in preventing relapse?
Well, good treatment. This is the disease of addiction. You have to treat it, and it has to be individualized. And each person needs a good evaluation, again, biopsychosocial, I'd say spiritual evaluation, and get adequate treatment for a long enough period of time. This is a chronic disease, similar to diabetes. Unfortunately, we have a healthcare system that treats it like it's a flu. You get this couple days of treatment, and then we hope you live happily ever after. And it's not going to usually work out that way. You need to monitor and follow it long term. And support the individual.
This is the type of work that you do at Gateway Rehab?
Right, yeah. I've been in Gateway full-time going on 26 years, started in the field at St. Francis over 34 years ago.
Let's go to Sue in Swiss Elm Park. Sue, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Yes, you're on with Dr.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. You're on with Dr. Capretto and Sharon Walsh.
Thank you. I would like to disagree with the long-held idea that marijuana is the so-called gateway drug.
Oh, I think Dr. Capretto, Dr. Capretto made it clear that he does not believe that's necessarily true.
I understand that, but I wanted to add to that I'm a respiratory therapist, and I did hear of a study a couple years ago that said that cigarettes was actually more of a gateway drug, and if you look at all the people that smoke cigarettes, you know, the percentage of people that go on to be heroin addicts, you know, might not be too high. But if you look at drug addicts, almost all of them smoke cigarettes.
Right.
And I do remember starting smoking cigarettes myself as a teenager, and how my whole life became wrapped up in when to get that next cigarette.
Right. Well, let's cut to the chase here, Sue.
Sure. You're right. Yeah. Nicotine addiction is a horrible condition. It results in the death of over 400,000 Americans every year, and it's legal. I mean, if tobacco was presented today as a new substance, I don't think it would get out of the gates. But it's unfortunately part of our culture, and a horrible condition.
We may have answered this during the course of our conversation, but there is a story that I wanted to bring up that I'm sure you're both familiar with. Last October, the body of a 16-year-old girl from Homewood named Tiara Whitehead was found doused in bleach and dumped in Riverview Park on the north side. Pittsburgh residents waited months for the toxicology report to come in indicating the cause of death. Earlier this week, the Allegheny County Medical Examiner's Office announced that she died of a heroin overdose, in addition to substances found in cough, cold, and allergy medications. So how common is it to see overdose cases that involve other substances on top of heroin?
Very common. Probably over 50% of the deaths we're seeing have other substances. And it's usually because as a person is using heroin and getting a tolerance, they're just using enough to kind of stop from getting sick. And trying to enhance or magnify the effects, they'll use other substances. The common ones are what we call the benzodiazepines, medicines like Xanax, Clonopin, the Valium family. And it absolutely will boost the effect, but it unfortunately boosts the danger and lethality. So many people are dying because of combinations.
Let's take a call from Layla in Beaver County. Layla, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi. I understand it is a problem with many facets, but I wanted really to reinforce. I just went through back surgery and 6 weeks of recovery. So I was, after the surgery, I needed some painkillers for a week, but then I was in recovery for 6 weeks. And then I was given a prescription when I went home for 120 pills of oxycodone, and which I had already stopped taking at the rehab facility. So that was so absurd, you know, to have a prescription. So the doctors and sometimes even dentists are also to blame with, you know, for this ease with which they prescribe and overprescribe. such dangerous substances that can end up in the hands of teenagers. You know, I was appalled at that.
It's a good point, Layla.
It's hard to get rid of the pills. Did you know it's impossible to get rid of pills?
Well, let Dr. Capretto respond.
Well, first of all, they have a number of take-back programs. A number of pharmacies will take them back, a lot of local police stations, and then the DEA has a couple times a year these take-back days. But your experience with having excessive pain medicine is a very common one. Let's face it, the prescription medicine problems on the street, they're not coming – these pills are not coming from Mexico, Afghanistan, Colombia. They're coming from our doctors. And so we've been nationally trying to better train physicians about we want to treat pain. You absolutely need, you know, deserve and should have adequate control of your pain, but for the time you need it, not beyond that. And the pendulum has swung too far in the other direction, that there's a lot of overprescribing.
And Sharon, what angles of this epidemic has the media not looked at enough?
Well, I think we're learning every day about this problem. We get phone calls from people saying, you need to cover this story or that story. You mentioned the young woman, the 16-year-old who was found in the park. One thing I wanted to say about that story was that when I read that story, it occurred to me that the media said, this was a young woman who is known to associate with drug dealers, as if it were her fault. You know, that she was dead, which I found a terrible thing to say about anyone. But there are so many stories still to be done. There are stories about drug courts, and I think a third of the counties in Pennsylvania now have special drug courts where instead of just putting people in jail, they send them to treatment. There is the issue of methadone and what are the pluses and minuses of using methadones. Most of the time we see coverage of people who are addicted, and I think there is a certain stereotype to them. We forget that there are also professionals who are
addicted. Well, that was a question. I'm sorry to cut you off there, Sharon, but that was something I wanted to bring up with both of you and Dr. Capretto. I mean, is there a concern about the stigmatization of heroin addiction?
Absolutely. The stigmatization of all addictions. One of the sad facts is, even in this country, lifetime, only about 1 in 10 people with addiction get any type of treatment. You know, people often are just afraid to talk about it, reach out for it. You know, when we have, you know, business consultants come to me and say, well, who's your competition? I say, you know, there's plenty of patients out there. You know, my biggest competition is bias, ignorance, and stigma against this disease and the people and families who suffer from it. And
how should the general public approach this problem then, in order to change the number of people who become addicted and overdose?
It's a public health crisis. They're fellow human beings. I mean, open your hearts. I mean, it's right now. It's a rare person that doesn't know somebody, a neighbor, or family, or somebody they work with who's struggling with it. And if you think you're not being affected, it's affecting you from what you pay in, you know, for items in stores or whatever, because addiction drives up, you know, crime tremendously too.
And we're running over time, but there's one last thing we need to get into, because I mentioned at the outset the increasing numbers of people that are being incarcerated. What do you think about the role prison plays in treatment and rehabilitation?
You have to treat the disease. If you just lock up a person and don't treat them, they're going to come out worse with their addiction. It's a good investment. I mean, treatment is just a good investment. I mean, studies show for every dollar you put into treatment, you'll save $7 to $12 and reduce medical costs, legal costs. It's a smart investment. And Sharon mentioned about the drug courts. I mean, that is the future, and they're shown to be cost-effective and effective in terms of improving the quality of lives.
I want to thank both of our guests for this discussion about the heroin epidemic in southwestern Pennsylvania. The man you just heard, Dr. Neil Capretto, medical director of Gateway Rehabilitation Center, and Sharon Walsh. She's the editor with our content partner, Public Source. Thanks so much to both of you for being here for this conversation today.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. Our pleasure.
Coming up, we'll talk with the producers of a new documentary about Rachel Carson. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.